Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from
your company name here.
Your studios in Cape Coral, Florida. It's the What's in Your Head podcast.
What are you doing?
What's up? What's up? What's up, OG5? Hi, Jasper. Say hi. Happy Halloween, you crazy fucks.
Boo.
Spooky.
Spoopy.
Welcome back to town, Morgan. When are you leaving again?
Sunday morning.
Gotcha. So I thought it would be only appropriate. Dude, you got to get down. I can't manipulate my chair with you fat 27-pound ass sitting in my lap.
Badass.
I thought it'd only be appropriate to talk old school Halloween. And it'd be interesting to see the difference between the three of us. Because, you know, back when Morgan was a child, they basically had to wear, like, straw and, like, coal on their face for makeup. Because, you know, what was that, like, 1838? And then Mike, Mike being seven in 2015, you know, things were a lot different from him. So it'd be an interesting contrast between your all's childhood and my childhood in the 80s when it comes to Halloween. So I guess it would only make sense to start with costumes. Morgan, growing up, did your family tend to go store-bought or homemade when it came to costumes?
Mostly homemade.
Great.
Thank yes. You. Elaborate.
Yeah, I mean,
it's called stretch the topic. fill time.
I mean, you know, ghosts and, you know,
the typical bed sheet over the head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, a couple of years we did the Charlie Brown bed sheet with all the holes in it and everything. So
sure.
So is that the extent of your creativity, just cutting holes in a sheet that no one wanted from 6 years ago? Or did you get creative? Did you imitate a movie, a creature, a villain?
Oh, 1 year I was Luke Skywalker, and 1 year I was Indiana Jones. And so, yeah, you know, kept up with pop culture.
I think as a young Miami kid, Vice, you could, you know, probably pull off the probably Empire Strikes Back Luke Skywalker by just wearing a white karate gi and a black glove. I mean, you could probably get away with it, right? Essentially, that's what he had on. Just wrap some, you know, ace bandages around your ankles. And now you look, hey, boom, there you go. There's a quick Luke Skywalker for you. What about you, Mike? Were you a store-bought guy? Were you a do-it-yourselfer? Were you both? Neither?
No, I think all my stuff was all homemade. Nothing really store-bought. I don't remember. I remember my friends had store-bought stuff. My friend that I grew up with, his parents, I don't know if he bought it or his parents bought it for him, but he got the what's his name from Scream? What's his name?
Ghostface.
Ghostface.
They gave him, yeah.
He bought the ghost face mask, but it was a cool one because it was one of the ones where you squeeze a pump and it would, you know, the blood would fall.
Yeah, it was the double laminated. It had
that was the new thing. Like, that was cool, you know, and I remember him doing that, but most of my stuff was homemade. And just about, I mean, once I started to get into the ICP and the underground hip hop stuff, then I would paint my face pretty much every year. But before that, I made my own army uniforms and stuff like that. I always went as a soldier or something like that, because that was like the one time of the year I got to dress up as to do something that, you know, I always wanted to do. So everything that I did was homemade.
When I was a kid, it was store-bought. And then when I got older, I just start making my own. Similar to you, I think when I lived there at Rickenbacker Air Force Base, my brother was in Civil Air Patrol, and he had bought some fatigues from the PX. And yeah. So I put on a green HBT shirt, and then I needed – you got to have something, right? You need an injury. So I remember I went into my closet, got a metal coat hanger, cut it, wrapped it around the inside of my wrist, and had it come out so it looked like shrapnel. And then I had, like, fake blood on it. And then I'd wrap, like, stuff around my head to make it look with ace bandages. And I think I went into the bathroom and or no, not the bathroom, the kitchen, because why would you keep food coloring in the bathroom, you moron? I went to the kitchen and got some red food coloring and I squirted it on the ace bandage and wrapped around my head. Just basically went between my military fatigues and whatever we had in the kitchen and the first aid cabinet. I'm like, okay, bandit here. Wrap a gall around my head, put some red food coloring on it, and went out. But it's funny because when I was wee little, we had store-bought, but store-bought was a far cry from the luxuries and the advancements in technology. See, you guys had, and probably later in your years, you know, Halloween Express, or you would go to the mall and go to like Spencer's and get the Halloween mask. But the idea of those high-end rubber Hollywood-style masks in the 70s and 80s, those didn't exist unless you were like in Hollywood or a big fan of Fangoria magazine and you had $300 to mail away for it.
Right.
We were kids, and you'll remember this, Morgan. You'd go to like Toys R Us or Children's. A lot of people have forgotten about Children's Palace. Children's Palace was around before Toys R Us. But I want to be He-Man. I want to be Casper. I want to be Mickey Mouse. It was literally a plastic smock with a drawing on it, almost like overalls, little plastic overalls, plastic, like trash bag grade plastic, things that would have nowadays wouldn't even sell because of the choking hazard. But it was basically a jumpsuit where it was tied in the back, and then they had this plastic molded mask, which was had the sharpest edges in the world. You would have a little rubber band, and you would slide it over your head. And it would have, no shit, a little slit about, a 16th of an inch. That was your breathing hole. Two little tiny holes, probably the diameter of a Q-tip for your nose, and two little tiny slots. No peripheral vision. You got this plastic smock on, so if you lived anywhere warm, you're dying of sweat. The thing barely fits, so you're walking like this. You got a mask on, no peripheral vision. But the best part, which I've always was sad for my kids, our Halloween took place. You ready for this? After dark.
Oh.
Our shit didn't start until 7:30, 8 o'clock. And it ran till 10. Not this, hey, safety first.
Yeah, 4 p.m. shit.
4 p.m. to 7:30. You got to wear sunglasses with your goddamn Halloween costume. So we're walking around in this plastic gear with a mask on with no peripheral vision, barely able to breathe with our pumpkin, walking around in the dead of night. And unless you lived in the suburbs of the city, you know, you barely had street lamps. And that was our costume. And you'd get paper cuts and it's all the, I can still remember the smell. Did you ever have any of those store-bought masks? Morgan?
Oh,
Morgan,
yeah, or Mike? yeah. Mine probably had lead paint on them too.
Oh yeah.
So,
and it was
probably why I'm a little special now.
And it's so crazy the minute details you remember. It was affixed with, remember the candy necklaces you would eat? You know that little thin piece of elastic? It was affixed with that, but it had two little metal doodads on the end. So they basically stuck it in the hole and it acted like a molly bolt. And that was the only thing. And so you just walk up behind your little brother and just smack him in the back of the head. Oh. And so that was our like high end. And I can only imagine that the retail of those were probably $5, which sounds cheap. But keep in mind, the average cost of a G.I. Joe in 1983 was $3.25. So a $5 costume, that was pretty steep money back then.
Sure.
And then, you know, did you go with the pillowcase or with the orange pumpkin?
Pillowcase.
I did pillowcase, yeah.
Yeah. Because you knew you were going to fill that bitch up. Mm-hmm. You weren't going to, you walk around the first, 10 houses, and that pumpkin was full.
That's where I was lucky, because once I moved to Ohio, I moved into a neighborhood, a development instead of a farm. So I moved into development, and a lot of houses, a lot of candy, filled up quick.
See, that was
the door because my daughter's voice is bleeding over.
Oh, that was I want him to hear this too. But go on, get the fuck out. What are you, some kind of asshole?
Fucking dogs. Now Jasper went out, but Bailey and Chloe refused to, and so then he
Yeah.
went back in because all the
Oh
rest.
no, we saw the whole thing. What was I gonna
Jasper's my
say?
only other dude in a house full of women. So
Yeah.
me, Carrie, Sariana, Chloe, and Bailey.
It's just you two.
We'll get into it after the Halloween talk, but Chloe sacked my week started off by picking up a dead rat in my bedroom on Monday.
Nice.
We'll get to
Nice.
that in a moment.
No, that what I was gonna say was that was a really cool part about growing up, you know, in Cape Coral was, you know, you had your neighborhood, but then, you know, especially the neighborhood that I grew up in, because just south of you, a little bit more in the southwest section, we had one road that separated our neighborhood. And then we had a canal that separated it again. So it was one big cross like this. So you had four different sections of our neighborhood. And you'd hit up, you know, your section, and then you'd move over to the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. And once we were done there, we'd load up in the truck and we'd go to like our cousin's neighborhood, you know, or we'd move on to, you know, our another friend's neighborhood or something like that.
Mass
And
migration Halloween night.
yeah, and you'd end up with, you know, two, three. Sometimes, if you were really lucky, you'd have four bag, you know,
You might be
pillowcases
hauling
of
ass though,
candy.
because you only had like 2.5, 3 hours to get that job done. So you must have been moving. I'm
We
turning
kept, we kept. I mean, back in, you know,
back in
back in
2010.
Peggy, we would keep going, just like you
Last
said. I mean,
season.
these kids start at, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they stop at, you know, like 8 at the very latest. I remember handing out candy one night in Cape Coral, and like my last one was at like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I was like, "The fuck is everybody? Like, there's nobody else." Like, it was done.
When we
But
moved out here to Northeast Cape, because the development's so sparse, like the
yeah.
first 3 years, we bought candy and get like one kid. And then we realized they all would go down to the gated community, which is where when Sariana moved in with us, that's where we took her.
Yeah.
That was my first time experience lower upper class Halloween. Because Carrie worked with somebody who lived in that community. And
Full
so,
bars. Full bars.
not even that. That's one thing. And this could happen in middle class neighborhoods. I've never seen it. But it was a gated community. You had to know somebody who lived there.
Yeah.
Certain houses had fucking hot dogs, popcorn machines, handing out bottles. Like, oh, here, mom, dad, here, have some Marlowe. We're walking around drinking fucking wine that people are giving us. And, oh, here, have some hot dogs. This is fucking awesome. People driving around their golf carts with 12 packs of beer on the back. That was my first time experiencing that. We didn't have that back in the day. Who were the
No, I
assholes who
never
gave away the
experienced that.
pennies? What prick saved up pennies all summer long and decided, you know what? I'm giving out pennies for Halloween.
I think that only happened to me a few times. But aren't isn't that like a religious thing? Don't people like
Most religious people, most especially like Latter-day Saints and Mennonites and all that, they just don't even bother. They just turn off their lights and maybe go out and have dinner.
Yeah.
But what's worse, the penny or the black and orange wax papered covered blob of shit, like the poor man's candy? That was the I've never consumed one of those. Anytime I got those went straight in the trash.
It's not good. It's
No.
not good.
And I don't know. See, I thought that perhaps maybe that was a carryover. Oh, this is what we had in the 30s when I was a kid. You'll love them. But no, that shit carried on until the 90s and the 2000s. You probably still get
Yep.
it today.
Yeah.
It's the
I'm sure you
grossest,
can.
nastiest shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And people think you want it and you don't.
Know what? I just had a thought now, too. Nowadays, because everything is so, especially post-COVID, right? Everything's so hygienic. Now, when you
Yeah.
get candy corn, they're in a separate air vacuum sealed little packet. When we were kids, it was just handfuls of raw candy corn right in the bottom of your bag. No
Yeah.
one cared.
Yeah.
This was handled by some strange dude. You
Yep.
can
That's
just
exactly what
blast.
it was. I mean, you had your individual shit, you know, like, you know, your chocolate bars and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, that fucking, when you get a bag of candy corn or a bag of what was some of the other ones that were
Okay,
undone like that? There
let's
was a
do this.
few.
Let's have a a top 10 versus the bottom 10 of our preferred candies. So on the bottom list, okay, we got the waxy orange and waxy black bullshit wrapped in the fucking Kleenex. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The aforementioned candy corn.
This, I don't know. I kind of like candy corn.
It has no, it's wax.
See, I do too. I do too. I would have to put, I would have
lean
to
into that mic. You're so quiet. Lean, please lean into your mic. You're so quiet.
Not a lot of candy corn. Just a little. Nothing crazy. But
this one divides a room.
It does.
Where do you stand on Smarties?
Ooh.
I'm a like, Smarties oh, fan. Smarties.
Like the roll?
Yeah.
Some or the because they make in the
plastic
the bigger
the original,
individual ones. The, but no, you're talking about the roll tube. I like them.
Then the clear transparent plastic.
Yep. I like
I know some people who think that's a trash candy and they throw it aside. To me, that's one of my like that's my number three, I think.
Really?
Oh, I'm a Smartie. I love a good Smartie.
Are you? Yeah.
Yep.
Bottle caps.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh yeah.
Not one of my favorites.
Bottle caps remind me of public pool in the summertime, not Halloween.
Okay.
I don't mind a root beer bottle cap, but the rest of them I could. Once again, if it's up to me, same package, same size. Would you rather have a what was it, a 3-pack of bottle caps or a 3-pack of sweet tarts?
Ooh, I think I go for sweet tarts.
Same style candy, same packaging, completely different flavor.
Soft chew sweet tarts, though?
No, we're talking original. We're talking teeth breakers right now.
Okay, the teeth breakers. All right.
Because for Morgan and I, these were the staples. The sprees, the soft chew shit didn't come out until like 1994, 95. Okay. Early days, it was chalky ass sprees. You know, if you wanted something chewy, it was a Reese cup. Where do we stand on Reese cups?
I'm down.
That's probably my favorite.
When's
down for the coast?
That is number one.
I used to be a hardcore Reese cup guy, and I don't know if it's where we're located. I don't know over the last 15 years if they're mandating people buy more than they can move. It could be a Florida thing. Maybe it's still better up north, but I have found me personally, anytime I buy a Reese cup, it's kind of white, it's kind of chalky, and it's dry as shit. I haven't had a good orgasmic Reese cup in probably 15 years, and it's so chocolate. Disappointing.
It's the chocolate. They changed the formula of the chocolate. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of chocolate candies out there that it's almost got like a waxy. It's almost like waxy. It doesn't melt really necessarily in your mouth. It kind of crumbles a little bit, and then it kind of sort of melts. It's the quality of the friggin' chocolate. They're starting to skimp out.
You know, I was having a side conversation with a gentleman I know named Zach. He's probably in his late 60s now. He served in the Army and the Navy, and then post-Navy and Army, he went on to work for the EOD. I'm sorry, he was EOD in the Army, the Navy, and then he actually worked for the Department of Defense designing weaponry post his career.
Damn.
But we were talking.
That's a lifer right there.
Mm-hmm. And he's got some cool shit like on his lanai. I think you guys probably seen pictures. He had like the 2/4-inch piece of steel with the big ass hole where they're shooting different weaponry through it.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
But we were talking today. I said, you know, one of the hardest parts about getting old is remembering when shit was good. The aforementioned Reese cup, Wendy's, back when the chicken sandwiches was actually a whole fucking chicken breast that was so thick the bun would slide off. Now it's as thin as a goddamn McFish. McDonald's is trash now compared to what it was 25 years ago. Just everything, the quality of everything has gone to shit that our kids never experienced the good food, right? And so they like McDonald's for what it is. But to us, modern day McDonald's is what McDonald's was 20 years ago after you sat in your counter for 5 fucking days.
Not that this is good for you, but cigarettes pre-2009, before they added all the chemicals into it to
all the anti-flaming, slowed down so you don't catch yourself on fire.
The extinguishing shit. My grandmother used to walk around the house. Well, it was my great-grandmother, actually. She died when I was really little, but I do remember her. She used to walk around the house with a cigarette in her mouth, and it would burn down, and the ash would be hanging off the end about yay long as she's cooking and doing whatever.
Perfect example of that, Pink Floyd The Wall, when he's sitting in the recliner, and he's nodding out. And they zoom in. And he's got that long ash.
Yep. But
and to that point, when I worked at Wendy's in 1994, this lady who worked there. She was 84 years old, and she smoked 3 packs of Pall Mall non-filters on a daily basis, and she
right.
was rolling hard.
Oh man!
But
well,
so
you hear stories of people that, well, they're like 100 years old or whatever, and they still smoke 2 packs a day.
What's your secret to longevity? I eat 3 pounds of bacon, 4 packs of cigarettes, and a bottle of whiskey a day.
Yeah. How weird is that? You know, they must have good genes, or maybe they're lying to us. I don't know.
So back to the candy.
Yes.
Pixie cups used to be good. Now the chocolate sucks.
Yes.
Bottle caps. Mike says yes. I say maybe, but if I have two sitting on my bed, because you got to divvy up the, you know, you got to separate the candy from the good shit from the bad shit. The bad shit you'll eat next week when all the shit good shit's gone. You leave that at home. The good shit's going to school tomorrow. So the bottle caps would get put in the secondary pile, especially if I had sweet tarts or the aforementioned Smarties. Where do you guys land on sprees?
I like them. The chewy ones?
Yeah.
They're the chewy discs, yep. Right? Yeah.
So
I haven't had them in forever.
I can take
them. I like
or leave them.
I enjoy a good spree. I'd buy a roll of sprees every once in a while.
Yeah, I like them. They're not bad.
Okay. Tootsie Rolls have the chocolatey chew. Tootsie Roll, I think I'm in love. Where do you guys stand on Tootsie Rolls?
No. not that I hate it. So you know, if somebody offered it to me, I go, yeah, sure, what the hell. But I'm not going for it.
Tootsie Roll may be, with the exception of the previously mentioned black shit, the shit wrapped in black wax paper.
Yeah.
Tootsie Roll may be one of the few chocolates that have changed, because it's always been such a low quality waxy piece of shit. But I can't imagine they've had to change or dilute their recipe at all in the last 30 years. So
I'm sure they haven't.
Tootsie Roll may be the one item that still tastes the same as it did when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Tootsie Roll wagon, when you're dividing up that candy, premium pile, next week's pile, you got a Blow Pop and a Tootsie Pop sitting there. Do they both go in the premium pile, or does one of them go in the next week pile? Where do you sit, Mike?
I think I'm going Blow Pop first.
Morgan?
Tootsie Pop all the way.
So yeah.
Especially if it's orange.
See, I was one of those kids that I didn't read, and I would just pull the label off, and I was always disappointed when I discovered I grabbed the Tootsie Pop instead of a Blow Pop. I'm team Blow Pop all the way.
See, but how quickly did that gum just lose all of its flavor?
Yeah, but you're talking
it
to two guys.
Like
you talked to two guys who grew up wanting to buy Fruit Stripe gum, and nothing has flavor that dies out quicker.
Oh,
than Fruit
God.
Stripe gum.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
What wore out quick, the flavor on Fruit Stripe gum or the flavor on Big League Chew?
Ooh.
Big League Chew.
You think that went quicker?
Oh,
I think if you would have.
I mean,
I think if
the difference ahead. Was is that the Big League Chew would wear out your jaw.
That's what I was going to say.
Flavor.
I think gram for gram, Big League Chew would probably run out quicker. But because you put a half a pound in your cheek at one time versus one, or possibly two sticks of Fruit Stripe gum. There's a reason why Fruit Stripe gum came in a pack of 33, because that shit was gone. 15, all 33 sticks were gone within 15 fucking minutes.
I'd dare to say the same thing with Double Bubble and Bubblicious.
Ooh, okay. Double Bubble versus Bubblicious.
Remember when Double Bubble was like 2 cents for one piece at the gas station?
I think now you're thinking of that. I think you're mistaking that with Bazooka Joe, because
Bazooka Joe
was the
Joe,
one
yeah.
sold individually with the comic.
Yeah. That could have been it. Yeah, because I remember I'd walk into the Circle K and they'd have it for like 2 cents a piece.
Yeah, that was usually the Bazooka Joe.
That's right.
Which was basically a thicker version of the gum you got in baseball cards.
Yeah, they were the ones that had the comics on them, didn't they?
Yep,
they had little mini comic strips. That's right. Yeah.
So
any one of those, they wear out so damn fast.
Because Hubba Bubba and Bubblicious were basically competitors from two different companies. It's a very similar size pack, same size gum, probably came from the same fucking manufacturer. They just put in different wrappers.
Yeah.
But I think Hubba Bubba probably came out. No, Bubblicious probably came out on top at the end of the day. Which one's still around?
I think they're all still around.
I haven't bought
How
any.
often are you going into the store to look and see what's still available?
I don't only if I
You're
do buy
always
gum, I'm
gum.
buying the fancy like minty shit that comes in the fucking the
This is what it feels
container
like
that.
to chew five gum.
Yeah, right. God, that was a thing.
Buying adult gum.
That was a
Yeah.
thing in the mid 2000s. They made commercials like an Axe body spray commercial.
Yeah.
Like it
They
was like the Matrix-y,
sexualized everything that at
it
the
was
time.
Matrix-y shit. And now we are the consistently inconsistent podcast. We do go all over the place. You know who gets credit for sexualizing a non-sexual product in commercial first? And I may be off on this, but this is the first commercial that I remember to the extreme where you're like, when you first saw it on cable TV, like, did I just see that? Herbal Essence. The
Herbal
very
Essence.
first Herbal Essence commercial, the girl's literally having an orgasm on the commercial because it felt so good. Like they changed it out of time, but like the very first Herbal Essence commercial, she sounded like she was having an orgasm in the shower. And they were playing this like, you know, at 6 o'clock on like NBC, like right
Prime time.
after. Yeah, right during dinner. Let's see if I can find it real quick.
Bubblicious is still available.
In what flavors?
Ooh, Hubba Bubba is also still available. Bubblicious is still available in classic flavors like strawberry, watermelon, as well as bursts varieties. And they also have the liquid or burst varieties that have the liquid filled center.
Here you go, all 27 seconds of it. Can
Strawberry, watermelon,
you
cherry,
hear
grape, and
it?
sour apple. No, I
They
can't hear
rose
you.
in Herbal Essences, shampoos, and
Now we
conditioners.
can.
You'll be overwhelmed by the organic herbs, the all-natural botanicals, drenched in pure aroma. And if you find that exciting, until you see your hair.
Now, could you imagine being a soccer mom making dino nuggets and French fries for your kids before you're getting ready to go off to Boy Scouts and you're watching Entertainment Tonight and your kids are sitting there and that's what the kids hear? Like, am I hearing that right? But yeah, and on the video they got her like her hand going down the soapy glass door in the bathroom and shit. So I think Herbal Essence is probably one of the first ones I can think of to like overly sexualize a non sexy product. I mean, pantyhose and legs kind of did, but you know, that made sense. You know, you're trying to sell women on getting nylons to make your legs look better, but this is fucking shampoo for God's sake.
Sure.
So there was one, it was a hair Nair, I think it was,
Yep.
back in like the late 70s, early 80s, and you know, all the models were in short shorts,
We
and
wear short
yeah,
shorts.
so. Yeah, exactly. So
Who wears
that was
short
kind of one of
shorts?
the first ones.
So on our candy ranking, we kind of briefly talked about whether they're good or bad. Obviously, in the mid-90s, that's when the Warheads, all the sour candy started coming out. Warheads, what was the other one? Warhead was like one of the first super duper sour candies. Tear Jerkers was one. And of course,
Don't
fifth
know if I
grade.
had those.
In sixth grade, you know, you proved your manliness by how many Warheads you can consume in one at one time because they were so goddamn sour. Warheads, yep, and Tear Jerkers. Tear Jerkers,
I
I
can
think, were
remember that.
worse. You don't remember Tear Jerkers? I'm my mouth,
That, yeah,
my mouth
I
is
maybe.
watering right now just thinking of eating two or three Tear Jerkers at one time.
Oh, you got me beat. That, I.
Can't handle a tearjerker.
No, I
Maybe
don't do
I
sour.
might have tried one before. It
You like
looks
that
a little
package?
familiar.
The tearjerkers were early on. I think Warheads beat them out. They're the one that has like the nuclear
Yeah.
bomb symbol. That's probably one
Yeah.
you'll be more familiar with.
Yeah.
What candy did
No,
I
Warheads, I
name?
definitely remember. Yeah.
What candy did I not name that got you excited on Halloween?
I don't know. I've always been like a melting pot for stuff where I kind of like A little bit of everything, you know?
Maybe we can define it real more defined. Were you a hard candy, sugary guy like all the candies we mentioned previously, or were you a more fan of the chocolates and the caramels and the nuggets, like the Twix versus the Snickers and the Hershey's and the Three Musketeers?
It's a mix. It really is a mix. I'd say probably my favorite chocolate candy bar would be like a Butterfinger.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Butterfinger ice cream, but I really didn't get into the Butterfinger too much.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites that I used to like to get all the time. But I also like, I still buy a pack of Skittles every now and again.
I
You
enjoy
know,
a Skittle.
I bought a Kit Kat bar today. You know, just to have as a little thing while I was at work, but
I remember when Nerds came out. Do you remember the original Nerd
Birds.
flavors?
The what?
The original. When Nerds came out, they only had one box, one flavor.
Yeah.
Well, technically, it was two flavors in one box. They had
Was
the.
it? It was pink and purple, wasn't it? Strawberry and
Yep,
grape.
that was the original one.
Yep.
That groundbreaking box they had with the.
Yeah.
Never closed.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
was the original. Yeah, yeah, you'd pop that tab open, and that was it. You were eating them, or
That's because we all slobber all over it and get all
yeah,
wet. Instead of dumping
right.
it in your mouth, you just
Yep.
then they stick inside, and it was at that point you just stuck
Yep.
your finger in and ripped the whole top off of it and downed it.
Yep.
It was a shot of whiskey.
The other one was Airheads were some of my favorites. I liked those.
Laffy Taffy.
Okay.
I wasn't too much of a
Not
taffy
dependent on the
kid because I had a
flavor.
lot of fillings. I
Yeah.
had teeth when I was a kid. A lot of fillings. Didn't
Yeah.
pull those out.
Dependent on the flavor on that one. Hey, fun fact.
Banana.
You probably like banana runs too, don't you?
Oh
Oh, it's
no.
Toothbreaker
Oh,
right there.
absolutely.
What's worse, a banana runt or what's the oh. Completely just lost. Their logo is the corn guy with a missing tooth because they're so goddamn corn nuts. What's worse on your teeth, a corn nut or a banana runt? I think it's created more cracked crowns than humanity than a banana runt or a corn nut.
Even worse than banana runts was the off-brand runts that you could get in
What were they
the
called, cunt?
turnstile or whatever.
Okay.
What'd you whatever I forget that the dispenser. Those were
When's the
even
last time you've
harder and they
seen a
taste
candy
worse.
dispenser? I just realized, when's the last time you've seen a red candy dispenser?
It's been a while. We used to see them at the grocery store a lot. You'd see them
Gas
like even when I
station.
was a kid, maybe a gas station, yeah. But even when I was a kid, you go up there for 25, 50 cents, 75 cents, or something like that. You could get a sticker. You could get the little bubble thing that had like a little figure in it, or you could do the candy thing. But you don't
Or
see them anymore.
the hombres, whatever the amigos, the little cholo characters that came in.
Oh yeah. I remember
I
those.
just realized the coin op industry. Soda machines, you can put debit card scanner. You can't attach a debit card scanner to a. That's probably why they went away. No one has quarters in their pockets anymore. That makes
Yeah.
perfect sense.
Yeah.
That's probably why bubblegum. See,
Well, and I'm sure.
instinctively, you want to think because they're fucking gross and you have all these grubby kids putting their fingers in there. But
Yeah.
I don't think, we've seen a lot of reports. The average cell phone, the average keyboard has more fecal matter than the toilets at Yankee Stadium. But no one's ever done that on a gumball machine dispenser, which I'm sure is
Hey,
pretty fucking
you
gross.
want to know one place that you might find something like that would be like.
A baseball card store or something.
No, I'd say,
Chuck E. Cheese.
yeah, something like that.
If
Like
they're
one of those
converted to the
kinds of
token
places.
systems, yeah.
Well, even if it wasn't, even if they didn't convert, because now it's all a card. There
I
is no
know,
token system,
but
so.
that's my point. The little red machines, there's no way to affix an electronic device unless
Right.
it was a box that would turn the crank for you.
Right.
Because there's no coin, no one has coins on them to use the damn
But
thing.
they're like this big.
Oh,
And they
gotcha.
had the lights in them, and then
Oh
when
yeah,
you
the nose style.
rotated it, and the fucking gumball would do
Oh
9,000
yeah,
spins all
those.
the way
Yeah,
down to
I
the bottom.
gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Fun fact.
But do you think COVID killed some of that?
Could have
Yeah,
been.
probably.
Fun fact, Fruit Stripes or Fruit Stripe,
Was that a Wrigley company?
that was owned by.
Stripel Fruitle International or something stupid.
Doesn't say.
Anyhow, what's your fun fact on that?
Fun fact, Fruit Stripe gum started production in 1960s, in the 1960s.
Sounds about right, because I think prior to that, everything else was spearmint flavored. Yeah,
Yeah. It was just discontinued last year.
makes
I
sense.
haven't seen Fruit Stripe gum in probably 2 decades,
Yeah, because
but
the
they were
fucking
still
flavor.
making it up until last year.
I think, you know what sold Fruit Stripe gum? That goddamn zebra. If it wasn't for that damn
Yipes the
zebra,
zebra.
no one would buy the damn gum. It was all the marketing and that fucking zebra. Just like, I think, fun fact, Fruit Loops, they're all the same flavor, regardless of the color. All the individual loops, same exact flavor.
I
Are they?
believe that.
Okay, I know we got a hard out, so even though we haven't gone through a whole list of candies, if something pops in your head, we'll go with it. Mike, I don't know if they fed you guys this load of bullshit when you were a kid, but they definitely laid it on us pretty thick.
Sure.
That was, Morgan, it's a dangerous world out there. People are tampering with candy. What should you do to ensure your child's safety?
You should take their bag of candy to the ER and have it x-rayed.
Do you believe people believe that that was going on? I asked ChatGPT today. I said, hey, in the 80s and 90s, people were lying about X-ray, but if it were true, and in a large city, a hospital did X-ray candy, how much would it cost said hospital per Halloween? And this is the reply we got from ChatGPT. It's a little long. We'll break it down. He said, that's a fascinating question. And you're right. The take your candy to the hospital, get an x-ray story from the 80s and 90s was urban legend, not a widespread real practice, but a few hospitals did actually offer it briefly, mostly as a PR or community outreach stunt. Let's estimate what the cost would be if a large city hospital really x-rayed candy all night long. First, we got to break down how is the candy x-rayed? Keep in mind, in the 80s, there was no digital x-ray like we have nowadays, everything was analog. Candy wasn't ran through a photo lab. It used medical x-ray machines, not film developers like photography darkrooms. Hospitals used either A, the radiographic film, which required developer fix and stop bath, the same exact shit I used in high school in black and white photography, or digital x-ray
Yeah.
plates after about mid-1990s. For the 19-eras film-based system, developer and fix were used in automatic processing, e.g., the Kodak RP Exomat. Each x-ray sheet was roughly $1 to $3 per film, plus chemical and machine maintenance. Two, per cost estimates in 1990s dollar. Let's assume a hospital standard 10 by 12 inch film for small objects such as candy. A film sheet was $2 a piece. That's bulk rate. Keep in mind, this is 1990s money. Developer chemicals, developer fix, stop bath, 25 cents per x-ray. Technician labor, estimated cost for a x-ray tech in the 90s was $60. So we're going to break it down to $60 an hour. They're going to break it down to about 10 bucks. Machine electricity wear, 50 cents. Total per scan, $12.75. Now you're saying, Don, whoopty shit. That ain't a lot. So the total cost for a big city Halloween night, a large scale hospital, let's say in this hypothesis, scanned 1,000 families in one evening. A realistic turnaround for a city such as Chicago or Boston. So 1,000 scans at $12.75 equals $12,750 for one night of Halloween. That's around $13,000 a night, the equivalent to $25,000 to $30,000 in today's revenue. So, how many hospitals do you think were actually spending $12,750 a night on Halloween to x-ray people's candies? Here's what happened.
Who's egg?
When Mike's mom showed up with the candy and Mike's out there, the nurse said, we'll be right back. They grabbed the candy. You can't come back because of radiation poisoning. They went back there, dumped it on the table, stole a piece of candy or two that they want, candy tax. Put the shit back in your plastic pumpkin or sack. Okay, the average x-ray takes about 7.5 minutes. We're kind of busy. 15 minutes later, they're walking out, just happen to be chewing a fucking stick of fucking Hubba Bubba. Here's the candy back. You're good to go. They weren't x-raying shit. There's no way. Why
No.
it didn't last. Hospitals that actually did this practice quickly realized that no tainted candy was ever found. It clogged up the ER workflow. Could you imagine? It's Halloween. You're a mechanic. Your fucking tire mounting machine blew up on you. You got a belt to the side of the face. Your jaw's broken. You need to get x-rays, but sorry, Sheila's back here x-raying 83 bags of candy. You're going to have to wait.
Crock of shit.
The expense and legal point, it was expensive and legally pointless. Most of the hospitals who did this stopped within a few years, though some police departments kept the offer alive as safety reassurance campaign rather than a real service. So then it said, if you like, I can break down what developer fixed stop bath supplies would have cost about per gallon. Long story short, after the equation on all that, if they were doing it per gallon, oh, here we go. This is fun. Today's published price, 10-gallon Kodak compatible kits offer 100, blah, 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 blah. So the way these automated machines work is you would have the stop bath, the fix, all that run through, then you'd have to resupply it. According to this, the ballpark chemical cost for one night at 1,000 scan equaled about $550, replenishment to $600, including the initial fill. So you're adding that $600 on top of the 12 that we previously mentioned. And it was just a huge lie, right? It was trying to calm down the paranoid mothers because they're putting
That's
razor blades
mass.
in the
That's
candy. They're putting razor blades.
like mass hysteria type shit, right?
Yeah.
You know, one person,
Oh, yeah.
says something and then it spreads into a little group and then it spreads into a town and then it spreads into a, counties and then across the state and then a, next thing you know, the news outlets are getting a hold of it and going, "Make sure you check your kids' candy." I mean, my parents, when I was coming up, I mean, they would dump it out and sift through it just to make sure nothing was open, basically.
How many of those
That
candies
was
that you
it.
mentioned could you put a razor blade in? Maybe a Hershey bar if you tried really hard, the full size Hershey.
Yeah.
A Reese's cup, maybe. But once
See
again, the
the
package is going to have a big tear in the side of it.
yeah, the thing that I would say that would be more
The old apple. Here's
concerning would
the
be
apple.
like a sewing needle or a stick pin or something like that. Something relatively small that could
Now, we saved that for the
easily
90s during
put in there.
the AIDS scare. Remember that?
Yeah.
People are putting HIV infested needles on the back of gas pumps and in the coin returns on public pay phones. You gotta be careful when you get that coin out of public pay phone. You're gonna get AIDS. Heard that one a lot. That was the one that went around. So yeah, that's it's. I wonder how many people actually, granted as a kid, but now as an adult, even before you do the research, like there's no way in hell anybody did that.
Yeah.
Especially after you paid the cost for, after you go to the emergency room for the first time and realize how much the shit cost, you're like, there's no way.
It's common sense. I mean, it's just,
Yeah, but we're getting dumber. Did you ever see a costume? Maybe, did you guys ever do like the school costume parades? Like in third grade, everybody wore the costume to school. Punk rock was a big
Yeah.
thing in the 80s. Everybody'd be like, I'm gonna wear two different color shoes, put a hair in spike, spray it green, and blah, blah, blah. I remember we walked to school when I was in fifth grade because we lived at Rickenbacker Air Force Base. And me and my buddy Terry, skateboarding was our life. That's all we did. And Terry asked the teacher, hey, can we bring our skateboards for the Halloween parade? Nope, liability. What if we take off one wheel so then we couldn't ride? So that was the caveat. We had to bring a wrench to school to make sure we took off one wheel. But the saddest costume still breaks my heart to fucking this day. And poor William probably passed away. He had a disease super young. Yeah, he's probably definitely in a wheelchair by today's by this age. He had some sort of disease that affected his walk, and so he kind of stumbled, stuttered when he walked. But he when I lived in Rickenbacker, that was the southwest side of Columbus. That was kind of like middle lower class and like middle lower class, and so we had the whole gambit. The saddest fucking costume. William came to school. Everybody knew how to make paper Chinese stars back in, right? You folded the two different like footballs and you tied them together. And we all could make paper Chinese stars. He made a paper Chinese star out of tinfoil and got a black trash bag and cut a hole in it, put it over his head, glued the Chinese star to his chest, went in the bathroom and put water in his hair. And he was a cop who died in a flood.
Jesus.
That's all he could afford. It was creative.
That's dark.
But
That's just that's using your imagination,
he
though.
was a cop who died in a flood. His plastic bag was his poncho. Of course, the hair dried out in 10 minutes, so it lasted the whole parade. But yeah, I was like, that just fucking broke my heart. Like, wow. Because either you wore the really creative shit, or your parents were still going to JCPenney and buying the newer version of that plastic mask that still was. By then, it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but there were still viable options. But here's poor William and his hefty cinch sack and his fucking aluminum Chinese star with water on his head.
Yeah, by the time I got into like high school, it was less about the candy and more about riding around in your truck, bumping fucking any kind of fucking music or whatever, all dressed up in whatever the hell you wanted, and then going to parties.
So, as somebody who's been carrying a firearm for over 13 years daily, one of the biggest inconveniences is when you come home, you need to take your firearm off of yourself and put it somewhere safe, somewhere secure, especially if you have kids. Now, I know most of us are responsible. We have a gun safe somewhere. But let's be honest, usually these gun safes are big, they're bulky, they're kind of out of the way because they're a bit of an eyesore. Your wife doesn't want them where everybody can see them. So sometimes they're in your closet, behind some clothes, sometimes they're in the garage, sometimes they're in the mudroom. And let's be honest, taking your firearm out and walking to those locations to secure it is a pain in the butt, but you have to be a responsible firearm owner, especially if you have kids in the house. That's why you need to get yourself a StopBox Pro portable gun safe. You can make it non-portable, you can drill some holes in it, mount it to a place of convenience in your house, but it requires no batteries and no electricity. You simply come in your house, walk up to your safe, choose your finger button combinations, open a safe, remove your firearm from your person, put it in the safe. If you close your safe, just that easy, it's secure. So do yourself a favor, head over to StopBoxUSA.com/D410 and get all the information today on your StopBox Pro. When seconds count, trust the only non-fail firearm storage box, StopBox Pro, at StopBoxUSA.com/D410. I was too young for this, because this is when before we moved to Ohio. I moved to Ohio in second grade, so this one I was like in first grade, Lore of Cabbage Night. Did you guys have any sort of night, a devil's night, a debauchery night? We had cabbage night. And that's when it was like the night before Halloween, all the high schoolers would go out in toilet paper houses, shaving cream, people's car windows, and just full-blown teenage debauchery that I don't think kids would do nowadays or could get away, especially with the Ring doorbells, could get away with.
Well, I don't know. I've seen a few videos of, I don't know if it was like high school football team or something like that, but kids, believe it or not, still know how to TP a house or egg a house or something like that. And they pulled it up on a Ring doorbell where the kid got caught by the owners of the house and they were out doing, dinner or whatever. But it was expected.
Yeah.
They knew that they were going to do it because it's every year. It's the same thing. And they pulled it up, and he knew the kid that was doing it too. And he was talking to him through the cam, and he was like, "Well, be safe and have fun. Good job, you got me."
Did you
And he
see the
just
one
kept
where
moving on. So,
the kid was sent up there to the door to do the ding dong ditch by his buddies,
yeah.
but he's too good of a kid, and so he rang the Ring doorbell, and the guy's like, "Is it? Yeah, sorry, my friends are out there waiting. I'm supposed to ring a doorbell and run." And the guy's like, "Hold on a second." And the guy opens the door. He's like, "Okay, here's what we're gonna do." He said, "I want you to turn around, run like hell, and start screaming." And he said, "One, two, three." Kid took off. The guy chased. "You goddamn son of a bitch!" Starts screaming out of the car. So the kid looked like he was super courageous to his asshole buddies. He just chased. Get out of here.
I know there was another kid that I saw that was supposed to ding dong ditch, and the lady opened the door. And he was like, "Oh He's like, "I'm supposed to ding dong ditch you." I'm so
I
sorry.
remember when we discovered that every cable box remote control worked on the same frequency. And it was at Rickenbacker. And all these were Rickenbacker Air Force Base. These were all ex-military housing from World War II that got converted into civilian housing. So they all had the same floor plan, the same windows. And now we all had, oh, it's Sunday Night Football. Click, change the channel, run down the street. Go find somewhere you can see their TV. Click, change the channel, run down the street. We'd get from house to house changing people's cable boxes because we all had the same cable company. It wasn't
That
like
was
this.
the scene from Grumpy Old Men when he was, because their houses were right next to each other,
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
when he
right.
would do the Powerball, he would stand there and
That's
change it as he was trying to get the numbers. My friend, actually, well, I guess a friend of mine that I had in elementary school, it was the coolest thing. I was really into like spy and like gadget stuff, and he brought in a Casio watch that could control the TV,
Nice.
and it
I had one in
had
high school. Yeah, so they
yeah, it
not the
had
90s.
power on and off, volume and channel, and then it had numbers 1 through 9 and zero. And but it was still a watch,
Yeah,
you could
like the
still.
calculator watch, but it had the
Exactly. And I'll never forget, we were sitting in whatever the hell class we were in, and he managed to get it paired to the TV, because back, remember back then you had to put a code in for the TVs, program the remotes. But I don't know if he just happened to have the right code or how it worked, but he was sitting there in class and he was clicking it, and he kind of had to keep it out because they still had what was it, IR or RF or
Yeah,
whatever it was, that
infrared.
was, yeah. And he kind of had to keep it out, and he'd hit the button and the TV would pop on, and the teacher would be like, "What the heck?" And then she'd turn it off, and then he'd sit there and click it back on. "All right, who's doing that?" So then she'd do it again, and then he'd pop it back on, and, "All right, who's got a remote in here?" Nobody ever had a remote, so we drove her nuts.
The funniest thing before we wrap up, because Mike's got to leave here in about 6 minutes. Funniest thing ever, in our high school, we had a physics class, and well, all of them had physics class. One of the physics projects they would do is they'd make the hovercraft using like a shop vac or whatever. And you get a piece of plywood and you put the trash bag in the shop vac, you can push the kids down the hall because it's physics. I remember Jason and I forget his buddy's name. They weren't in physics class, but they decided it was of utmost importance that they went rollerblading down the hallways of the high school. And whenever somebody popped the head, teacher popped, "What are you doing? Physics!" They just yell, "Physics class!" And go in the corner. They're doing laps for like 2 hours, just rollerblading down the hall. "Physics! Physics!" Oh, it was the funniest shit ever.
That was always, I had a digital media class when I was like a freshman or sophomore or something like that. You'd have to learn how to make like that, edit videos, believe it or not. And that was always fun because we would always, all right, you guys are, go out, do your video or whatever, figure out all your stuff. And we'd run down the hallways and cause all kinds of chaos saying that we were doing it for digital media. So it's kind of the same thing. I drove my car one time because we were filming like a drunk driving commercial or whatever. And I had a piece of shit Ford Explorer Eddie Bauer in 1992 that was just junk. And I remember I was like, well, I'll haul ass down the road and you guys film it, and then I'll just park my truck in like a ditch. And like, if we need to, we'll go get, what's his name's truck, and we'll, hook up and we'll pull it out if we need to. But I put my truck down in a ditch and put my face down on the dash with, blood and shit all over my face. And that was one of our projects, is I got to drive my car when I was in school.
I was watching somebody I knew, his school project from the 90s. It was a video project, and in the video he's walks up to a guy in the street and gets a brown bag off of him, and the cop drives by and he freaks out and starts running, and then it's just a montage of him running through like the local train depot, and like him running across the top of the trains and then jumping over fences. Long story short, this long action-packed montage where he thinks he's being chased, and at the end he sits down and opens up, it's a fucking bag of tacos.
That's pretty good.
Well, Mike's got to run. That's going to wrap it up for this holiday episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. As always, head over to whatsinyourhead.com, click on that Patreon link, sign up and subscribe. While you're at it, go to youtube.com, look for Poles and Paddles. That is a YouTube channel. We're pushing out there trying to build content and viewership on there. And go check out D410 Media as well. And obviously, if you're watching the video version of this, you're already there. Make sure you like, subscribe. Send us an email to info@d-410.com, and we'll talk to you all next week.
This has been a Digital 410 production.